Welcome to Prophecy Countdown with author and pastor Kenneth Bear. Join us every week for the latest updates on what the Bible has to say about the events, the characters, and prophetic signs of the return of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom. Make sure you not only subscribe, but like your favorite episodes and share it with your friends. Now, on with the broadcast.
Welcome to Prophecy Countdown. We provide two updates each week on this channel. On Sundays, our messages premiere at 1 p.m. And then on Wednesdays, our prophecy updates premiere at 11 a.m. The title of my message today is number 381, Greatness in the Kingdom. And we're continuing our sermon series in the Gospel of Matthew. Today we'll be starting in chapter 18, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 9. Now, as I mentioned, Wednesday is our prophecy update, and as the name of our podcast implies, almost all of our podcasts involve prophecy, and the reason for that is because somewhere between 25 and 33% of the entire Bible is prophecy, so it's not unusual to see it as we travel through the Scriptures. Now, we love answering questions, particularly related to prophecy. If you have a question or an idea for one of our future topics, send us an email at prophecycountdownpodcast@gmail.com. That's prophecycountdownpodcast@gmail.com. I answer all of those emails personally. Would love to be able to communicate with you. So today we're talking about greatness, and specifically greatness in the kingdom. Have you ever wanted to be great? I mean, truly great at something? You know, today we have a term. It's GOAT, G-O-A-T, the greatest of all time. A term that's applied to a very, very small group of people. People like Michael Jordan in basketball, Tom Brady in football, or perhaps the greatest of all, Muhammad Ali in boxing, who was said to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Now, greatness is a goal that many ascribe to. When I was in college, I was an athlete, and while I may have considered myself great back in my high school days, the glory days, that wasn't true at the next level. When you get into Division I competition athletically, you're competing against all the former greats in high school. And I was actually, quite frankly, I was lucky to be able to hang on to my scholarship. Now, there are 12 apostles that all followed Jesus. By many definitions, are great. They followed him for 3 years in his earthly ministry. They all followed him for their own personal reasons, but all of them were great. Well, at least the 11, excluding Judas, all carried on the ministry, and the apostles literally, with the help of the Holy Spirit, changed the world. They were persecuted by Rome. They were chased down and persecuted by the Jewish authorities. All of them, with the exception of the Apostle John, were martyred for their faith. John, by the way, the Apostle John, who wrote not only the Gospel of John and the three epistles, little John, but also the book of Revelation, lived the longest of all the apostles, and he was the only one that wasn't martyred. But prior to being exiled to Patmos, he was actually literally thrown into boiling oil, according to the Christian historian Tertullian. So again, these men were great, and they suffered great persecutions. Now, today's scripture is from the first 9 verses of chapter 18 of the Gospel of Matthew. At this point in his earthly ministry of Jesus, the 12, the apostles, had been with Jesus going on 3 years. Jesus was gaining in popularity and had proven through miracles and through signs and wonders that he truly was the Messiah. Now, we're going to read that question that the disciples asked of Jesus. I'll break up the reading today, and actually into two different parts. We'll take a look at the first part where Jesus answers the question about being great, talks about little children, and then some warnings we'll get to later. So let's begin again, chapter 18 of Matthew, beginning in verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Now, going back to my earlier comments about the GOAT, the greatest of all time, I think it's fair to say that when you think about top athletes, the ones I mentioned in particular, and also the vast majority of people who truly want to be great, whether it's in athletics or fashion or business or medicine or entertainment, education, whatever the industry that they're in, I think it would be fair to say that none of them believe the pathway to greatness in their field is to humble themselves and become like a child. However, Jesus wasn't talking about athletics or fashion or business or medicine or education. Jesus is addressing the kingdom of heaven. You know, back in 2008, a gentleman by the name of Malcolm Gladwell published a book called Outliers, The Story of Success. And the book is primarily known for a saying that he had, a corollary that he had, which is called the 10,000-hour rule. He said that it took 10,000 hours for people to excel, to actually become great. Now, Jesus here, however, is not only telling his apostles something completely different, something completely countercultural, but it's also something that can be accomplished relatively quickly, far less than 10,000 hours. And it's really about a conversion. It's really a conversion of, if you're desiring to be great, to become like a child, to become childlike. The key attributes Jesus highlights by using a child in this example are humility, simplicity, dependency, trust. These qualities contrast starkly with their adult and too often common counterparts, which the Apostle Paul would later pen and later characterize as being the old self. The Apostle Paul always struggled with the old self. The old self would be marked by the following traits. First one being pride. Pride is the opposite of humility. A prideful attitude involves an inflated sense of one's importance or their abilities. It's a reliance on self rather than a reliance on God. The second attribute would be an independence, or what we would call self-sufficiency. This is in direct contrast to a child's natural dependency. The old self might reject help from others and from God, preferring to rely solely on their own personal strength, their experiences, or their intelligence. And the third would be distrust, or what we would call cynicism. Instead of the trusting nature of a child, the old self could be marked by skepticism, suspicion, a lack of faith. In contrast, a small child is humble as he realizes that he is in great need and completely dependent on who? On his earthly father, his earthly mother, for nurture, for protection, for education, provision. Actually, everything that a child needs is provided for by his or her parents. The child is dependent on them and cannot survive on his own. So let's get back to verse 1 again and see if we can find out why the disciples asked this question, and then we'll look again briefly at Jesus' response. Now, this event that we just read in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, can also be found in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke often tell similar stories. They're called the Synoptic Gospels. The word synoptic, and I've mentioned this before, comes from two Greek words. The syn, which is together, and upsis, which is a view. Hence, the synoptic gospel are seen together. That's the meaning of synoptic. So according to the gospel of Mark, chapter 9, Jesus directly asked the question, asked the disciples, what they were discussing or arguing among themselves. But Mark says that they remained silent. So Jesus again presented the child. Luke chapter 9, verse 46 says, then a dispute arose among them as to which of them would be the greatest. Luke adds that Jesus understood their thoughts, used the opportunity to teach them a lesson by using a child as an example. So it appears that the motives, the desires of the apostles were far removed from the example that Jesus provided, that of a child. The contrast couldn't be more obvious. Later, after Jesus had died and rose again, and particularly when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, all of these apostles would understand what it meant to be humble. They would fully understand what it meant to have childlike faith. So let's finish up by reading the remaining four verses. This is verses 6 through 9, again in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Verse 6, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life maimed and lame rather than having two hands or two feet and to be cast into the everlasting fire. Verse 9, and if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes be cast into hell fire. This is quite a picture that Jesus is painting for us, isn't it? Well, first of all, Jesus speaks of these little ones, and most scholars understand that Jesus is making a transition here. He's not just talking about children, but he's specifically talking about followers, people that follow Jesus, people like you and me. We are known by the name Christian. We are faithful followers of Jesus Christ. And we see this because the text says, these little ones who believe in me. And I think the idea of this believing in him is an indication that it's not Jesus is not just talking to about children. However, I think many of us would agree with Jesus' warning about those who cause children harm, children to stumble, specifically to participate in any adult-like sin. Now, the words Jesus is using in this warning are extreme. He says, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cast it out. Jesus said it would be better for a person to have a millstone around his neck and to be drowned into the ocean. If your eye causes you to sin, Jesus says, pluck it out. Now, just because this is what nearly everyone considers to be hyperbole, don't miss the warning. Don't miss it. Hyperbole is it's a figure of speech. It uses radical exaggeration. The Bible uses it frequently for emphasis and for impact. Hyperbole is designed to make you stop, to gasp, to understand something important is being communicated. Hyperbole is also memorable. These are pictures that Jesus is painting for us. Gouging out your eye, cutting off your arm, having a millstone around your neck. A millstone is 500 to 2,500 pounds, dragging you to the bottom of the sea. Now, exaggeration like this, hyperbole, is used because they're memorable. They're especially useful in oral traditions and telling stories. Remember, Jesus is a storyteller. The Bible says that Jesus spoke in parables. That was his primary means of teaching. Now, parables don't use hyperbole, but like hyperbole, they're memorable. They're easy to remember. They paint a picture. Now, here's the bottom line, and don't miss it. Jesus is using hyperbole to make this point. We must take our sin seriously, and we must be totally committed to defeating it. Don't forget also what Jesus said back in the first two verses about humility, about being childlike. In fact, I had my seminary professor did this for us. He said, you could summarize the formula that Jesus gives, not only here, but other places as well. And the formula would be like this. It would be humility plus compassion plus holiness equals greatness. That's humility plus compassion plus holiness equals greatness. You can write that down or you can commit it to memory. Humility plus compassion plus holiness equals greatness. My friends, don't settle for anything less than being great in the kingdom of God. If you shoot for greatness, and I like this, if you shoot for greatness in the kingdom of God, you'll still, even if you fail, you will still end up in the kingdom. Amen? Amen. That's a glorious pursuit. Let's go ahead and pray. So Father God, we want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to look at the words of Jesus.
Nearly every day, it's common to see, read, or hear something about the end of the world, the apocalypse, or end times. Author and pastor Kenneth Bear's The Apocalypse and Coming Kingdom zooms in and breaks down biblical prophecy as it relates to Jesus' imminent return and the coming seven-year period, including the Great Tribulation. Available in both paperback and Kindle versions. Get your copy on Amazon or at Barnes & Noble and select Christian bookstores. The title again is The Apocalypse and Coming Kingdom. You can also find it listed by author Kenneth Bear. Get your copy today. Thank you for joining us on Prophecy Countdown with Pastor Ken Bear. Don't leave without first sharing the latest episode with your friends. Be sure to join us again for the latest updates on Prophecy Countdown.